the first black guy that you guys give a job, you give him the worst.
Yeah, he inherits this mess and now has to be like, cool, if I fail, it's somehow my fault.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard, Pablo Torre, Katie Nolan, and Dominique Foxworth. We're just exceptional on a subject that'll be later on in the show, but they were pretty good right there. Let's get started.
Biggest story from last night. The Clippers' big win, Marcus Morris stepping on Luka's ankle, or PG's post-game comments?
Okay, across 10 years of making copycat shows like Highly Questionable, Around the Horn, pardon the interruption, Eric Rideholm has gotten very wealthy for a decade just asking, did so-and-so choke or did he not choke? And Paul George, in 2020, we were pounding this person. In 2020, with the modern equivalent of how bad of a choker, how weak are you, soft guy, you disabled your Instagram comments. Today should be a celebration of Paul George because he made everyone eat it. Everyone who for a decade has been making fun of this guy's a choker under untenable circumstances, right? Because if you're human in any way, that sound that you hear of America laughing at you makes it very hard to do your job. But athletes are more confident than we are at most things. And so he rose up in that moment and he showed you, hey, Paul George, this is why Kawhi Leonard picked him.
We devote a lot of lip service to talking about prioritizing mental health and taking it seriously. And then we spend a lot of time patting ourselves on the back because we said mental health matters. And we've, you know, applauded the NBA for hiring psychiatrists for their team and for seemingly taking this seriously thanks to a lot of players speaking out about it. And yet, when a player seems to be struggling with mental health issues due to an obviously difficult situation that they've been put in because of their sport and this current pandemic, we laugh at them and we're like, you're soft and you can't hit shots and why aren't you clutch? And it shouldn't take a performance like that from Paul George for him to feel comfortable telling us, hey, I'm struggling. It's really tough in here. And something we talked about yesterday, that fans feel entitled to have the ability to say negative things to Paul George on a website, a page run by Paul George. That's just something we accept is fine. And we yell at Paul George when he doesn't let us do it. So I think, yes, he should be celebrated today. And we should all stop saying that we take mental health seriously until we actually do and recognize it in situations that aren't maybe right away as obvious.
All right, well, we all get a do-over because Paul George isn't going to score 35 in every game for the rest of their time in the playoffs. Paul George is going to have a game that is not perfect. And we'll see how us in the sports media and fans in particular who frequent his pages, how we behave in that moment. If we point out that maybe he's gone into some other sort of dark place, because if you know anything about mental illness, and if that's what Paul George is characterizing this as, it does not just go away. Like, it's really hard, as Dan started this, it's hard for anybody to take all that type of abuse verbally or socially, and you can't get away from it, as you pointed out, Katie, in the modern age, you cannot get away from it. So we will all have an opportunity coming up in the coming weeks when Paul George has a subpar game to see how much we do care about mental health and him as a person.
So often the least sympathetic person in our world is the unhappy millionaire, the unhappy rich person, because theoretically, all of this money and celebrity and audience should inoculate you to all of these stresses that you guys are describing. And for me, the thing about this story is that it should not be unrelatable. It should be the opposite, because the one thing that anybody should be able to appreciate is that this is a shared experience that really any of the things we chase after in our lives as we try and climb this ladder of success, it doesn't address fundamental human concerns. But if I may bring up another fundamental human concern here, the question at the top of this topic was, what is the biggest storyline here? And if we're going to do that, also essential to my happiness and a human concern is the health of Luka Doncic. Have we had enough seriousness where I can come in and point out that one of the Morris twins deliberately tried to injure the dude that has brought me more happiness over the last month than anybody else in my actual life? Apologies to my six-month-old daughter. Can we show that video, please? Because that was insane. Look at this. He flat tires the guy with the bum ankle. I was supposed to, because he sort of apologized on Twitter.
Come on, Pablo. This is why the Clippers got Morris. It's why he's on the roster. Come on, knock it off.
I need one of you guys to name which Morris it is, because you just called him Morris. Pablo called him a
Marcus.
Morris twin.
Well, wait a minute.
Yes, thank you, Katie.
It's Marcus.
That's correct. But no, wait a minute. But they've got the same tattoos. They do that on purpose. They are hard to tell apart because they make it that way on purpose.
They keep you on your toes.
Dan and Pablo, they're not hard to tell apart. They wear different jerseys. You know, you're not bumping into them in the street.
I don't like this undercurrent that you're suggesting here, some undertones. Those two dudes look alike. It doesn't mean all black people do. We did not do that. We did not do
what?
That.
I was just saying that as professionals, you should be able to tell the Morris twins apart. That's all.
I want to be excluded from this narrative.
All I'm saying is we say that's Marcus, but where's Markeith?
That's the thing. See, this is the thing. I believe that if Marcus wanted to go out, Markeith could play in his place and the job would be the same. Go get Luka's ankle.
Should NBA players consider protesting games for racial justice?
All right, they've literally been in a bubble, and they told us before going into that bubble, we don't want to just be wearing social justice cause uniforms and ignore what's happening outside of the bubble. And now a viral video has made its way all over America in streets that have a little less screaming in them, streets that are a little less loud than they have been over the last 5 months, and NBA players are in that bubble talking to reporters and saying, we're questioning the worth of being here. In these instances, the way that you show real power and leadership is by costing people money. The idea that they're talking about boycotting games, the idea that that sport is progressive, and the responsibility of that shouldn't just be on the black players. There are all these white owners as well who could help the cause by saying we're going to cost ourselves money by bringing more attention to this outside the bubble than we could inside the bubble. I don't want those games to go away, but if I were advising these players, I'd tell them, put the pressure on these games to go away so you could bring attention to your causes the way that you want to.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a desperate effort. And we're at a point in this country where black people feel quite desperate. And we're also at a point where it seems as if the country is more willing to listen than they have been in previous years, at least in my lifetime. So I think that this is a moment where they have maximum leverage. To enact that leverage, they would have to sacrifice something great for themselves. And it's not just money. It may be just money for some people at the top, but for these guys, they've played their whole lives. They've worked their whole lives for this opportunity. And it pains me to think that they are expected to sacrifice that in order to draw people's attention to something that should have been addressed a long time ago. I'm hurt by it on both levels. I'm hurt that it exists, and I'm hurt that the players feel a need that they have to step in and point us in the direction that we should already know we're headed in. So there's no winning in this situation as far as I'm concerned.
And that pointing you described, Dominique, it's actually, I think, even sadder and more depressing and a bigger indictment of us than merely pointing. This is a kind of dystopian version of parenting. What these athletes are saying is, if you don't shape up, if you don't start valuing black lives, we're gonna take your games away. You're not gonna be able to play with your toys. And that is so unbelievably sad that is a plausible threat, which it is, but also that they feel the need to do so. So when George Hill talks about how he wishes they never entered the bubble, echoing Kyrie Irving's thoughts from many moons ago, when the Detroit Lions take off practice yesterday, when all these players on the Raptors and Celtics are now discussing, do we even want to play these games? It comes from that place, which is, it is more than anything an indictment of us, because that is not the job of not only the black athlete, but of black people. It's not even within the power of black people to stop police brutality. But the fact that they want to try and do so, I don't blame them at all for giving the best effort, even if that effort mostly shines poorly about the rest of us.
I will be devastated if basketball games stop happening. It has been a tough couple months on all of us, and the return of sports has been the return of some shred of normalcy where you've been able to turn on your TV and distract yourself from everything going on. But I'm not stupid enough to think that this is about me and that it matters how I'm going to feel if this happens, if players decide that they need to stop playing in order to try to do something about what's going on in our country. And it's funny, we police the way that people try to do things. If they wear t-shirts, we're like, that's not going to do anything. But then they're like, okay, I'm not going to play games then. And we're like, well, that's not going to do anything. You might as well play the games. And we're using sports as this way to turn us into that dog with the mug in the middle of the fire meme where he's like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. We're just distracted from the fact that everything isn't fine. And we're asking some of the most forward-facing, famous members of the Black community, because of the way that we value sports, to not consider their role in this, what we're hoping to be, sort of a revolution. You know, these are people who are going to be asked, if this continues to make the progress that we're hoping that it's going to make, these people will be asked, where were they when this happened? And they're going to have to say basketball summer camp. And I imagine a lot of them are like, I'm not really comfortable with that. I'd like to be an active part of what's happening, because that could make it from something that happens into something that doesn't happen. These are players and they're people, and we sometimes forget their humanity because we put ours over theirs, which is so backwards. But it's just people trying to make a difference. And if they're telling us this is the way that they think a difference can be made, then we have no choice but to listen and to try to help them make that difference so we can go back to having basketball games. We have to do the work. You don't get to have dessert until you eat your dinner. So shut up and eat your dinner.
No, that's the thing, though. We're already eating dessert. We don't deserve dessert. I love dessert. We're eating so much dessert. Dessert in a bubble. Oh, they're delicious desserts. Don't take away my desserts. What's the matter with you?
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
And you're saying that because of their attractiveness, you can't get your job done. You need to understand that that is a you problem.
What should the NFL do about the latest allegations against Daniel Snyder and the Washington football team?
All right, let's see if the NFL leads here. They love to punish for things that are outside of the auspices of football, but they tend to be a follower when it comes to the social stuff. So here you go. Do you care about women for real? Or is it just something pink you put on the field once in a while when it makes you look good? Because this Washington Post story, I urge you to climb over a paywall and find it, because the reporting on this is exhaustive. These things are hard to get published, and they have shown you a boys' club in Washington that, while maybe not surprising in 2008 and 2009, is really dirty. It is something that disrespects women. It is something that disrespects women as an organization. And football has been someone that likes to punish. So let's see if you punish one of your owners here, because he's implicated in a way. He's done a lot of scrambling recently where he changes his president and makes it a Black person. He changes the name of his team. My guess is because he knew he was in some sort of trouble. This is the last vestiges of hanging on to your team for Dan Snyder. Let's see what the NFL does to him.
Fun show today. A lot of fun topics here up top. What should the NFL do? Well, if they truly believe in this phrase that they use as a coverall for anything they want to punish, conduct detrimental, then they have to punish them, because this is conduct detrimental to your organization. The problem is, and what we've talked about before, is I just don't think enough people see what Washington is doing within the doors of their organization as detrimental. I think we're so quick to write it off as like, well, men, you know, you can't put a bunch of naked women at a photo shoot around men and not expect them to want to see naked women. Then don't have a naked photo shoot. Like, I don't know what to tell you at this point. If these are women that are going to their jobs and trying to do actual work, and you're saying that because of their attractiveness, you can't get your job done, you need to understand that that is a you problem. The way that they had things scripted in their conduct policy was that women weren't allowed to go to certain places within the building because they have to stay away from men because the temptation was too strong. The entire view of the situation is so backwards that it's very difficult to figure out how to fix it without changing the way people think about this. Like Dominique said in the last topic, change comes when people are uncomfortable. And I just don't think enough men, when they hear what happened in this organization, are uncomfortable. I think they see it as relatable, and it's not. It's wrong. Women are not invited into this space and then have to act in a certain way. Women should be able to just work and do their jobs. And this organization has not enabled them to do that in any way. They have one HR person. There's just so much. I'm so upset and so angry. And there's so much in this story, and I don't want to miss any of it. Like 25 new women accusing more people within that organization of sexual harassment, and Dan Snyder himself being directly implicated with a video being made that he was said to have asked them to make of behind the scenes of a naked. There's so much in there that I can't possibly address while also allowing three other people to speak. But like, I've said this before about Washington, I don't see this changing. How long did it take them to change their name? And they still haven't technically changed it to anything. They've just put this little placeholder. I don't know what the little baby steps that they'll be comfortable making are between where it is now and where it needs to be. So I don't know is my answer.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to speak. You can take as much time as you want. I can speak for everyone in that
you
matter.
Know what?
But I think
I'm with her on that. That's right. You know what? She's absolutely right. Why don't you two just sit the rest of this out? I'm with you. Let her have the last word.
It's too deep. It's too deep to even get
Pablo,
into on the show.
I thought you were great on this subject. I thought you were exceptional. I've heard as much as I want from you on this subject.
But let's be clear about something. The white whale we are hunting here, so to speak, is Dan Snyder. This is about whether this guy can ever leave his post. And I don't know if 42 women, Katie, I believe that's the total now, 42 women who have addressed, alleged some form of mistreatment, sexual misconduct within the Washington football team. I don't know if that's enough. Maybe this is a bed of nails theory where Donald Sterling only needed that one nail, that one recording, right? Dan Snyder seems to be lying atop of 42 different nails.
The difference, Pablo, between Snyder and Sterling is all the other owners wanted Sterling gone. Like, that's the difference. It's not the slippery slope of do you take someone's team away. It's Sterling had embarrassed them for so long that all of them told Silver, get him out of here. Like, enough already with this
guy. Well, and also the players were the ones who were affected by the stuff that Sterling, like, if, like, Sterling was racist and, you know, Snyder is sexist, but the players aren't women. So it's like, well, we can just, I could see them being like, maybe we should just get rid of cheerleaders, but not doing it in a way that's protecting women, doing it in a way that's like, they're expendable. We just need the football
players. That'd be an amazing thing if the power structure is stuff that you could get rid of cheerleaders, but not Snyder.
Yeah. And I would not be surprised. It's so frustrating too when they do the like the kind of right thing, but for the absolutely wrong reasons. And you're like, no, you didn't. That's not right. You didn't do it properly.
I'm sad that that's not in the show, but whatever.
How do you know it's not? I think it is.
Everything's in the show.
It better be.
Do you question if this guy would be a good car thief?
All right, so the very sloppy and lazy producers of this show have told me not only that this is from parts unknown, but they don't know whether this guy is trying to get into his car, whether he's trying to steal the car, whether he's lost the keys to his car. So let's see whether this guy would be a good what. Let's check it out together.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. That license plate? Is this a live leak video?
I was just going to say, is this live leak? Because that's a Russian plate.
I am so in
leak.
On this.
Yes.
Board license plate plus live leak button means this is absolutely going to be worth our time.
All right, so we try to hatch it. Now what's next?
Flamethrower? There's an upgrade from an... Oh, crowbar. There is an upgrade from a hatchet. Now a crowbar.
Okay.
Oh, the combo crow hatchet.
Ooh. The rare usage of a hatchet, the backside, the non-hatchet part.
I mean, it has to be his car, right? Like, if you're... If you're a thief, don't you come more prepared to steal? Like, he's just taking what he can find.
Is this video from inside of another car?
Yes.
Wait, did someone just open it?
It was open. Somebody helpfully, just came and opened it. That reminds me of that video. We haven't played in a long time that video of that drunk guy trying to climb a fence and also Russia. Why don't we show them that video? Because that's always good. Yeah, thank you. Look at that. Immediately available. What? Big surprise.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. This is very similar to that last video.
Whoa.
Is it open?
I won't be a spoiler.
Is it a door that opens?
That guy
I won't be
that?
A spoiler.
Now, keep watching, Katie. You haven't seen this yet? Keep watching.
No, it
keep
looks like Greg Cody doing parkour.
Keep watching, Katie. There's a big plot twist here.
Oh, ooh. Gosh.
Oh, boy. Oh,
why
no.
Why did you go in the first place?
Oh, boy.
Here we go. And, yeah,
it's
here we
door.
Go. This is just
gonna walk through the
okay
through the door here. Wow! Oh my god!
In New York State, Jets camp.
All right, the Jets have a monster offensive lineman. Maybe you caught him at the combine. Mekhi Becton is an enormous human being. And this is him next to Jamison Crowder, who is not an enormous human being. Jamison Crowder is 5'9" and a half. He's not tiny exactly, but anyone next to Mekhi Becton is going to look tiny. Do we have a whole assortment here of a collage of size differences that we could show the audience here?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Manute Bol and Muggsy. What else do we have here?
Oh, Yao and Muggsy.
Yeah,
it's always
Muggsy.
Muggsy.
Yes, that one's amazing right there.
Crazy.
The Rock is a huge human being.
Yo!
Yeah, all good ones. Yes, that one less good than the others.
The idea that Becton and Crowder play the same sport is mind-blowing. The idea that they're the same species is kind of mind-blowing. And Becton is also probably nearly as athletic as a guy that size. He's the video of him doing crazy dunks and running 5-1s at the combine. He's a special athlete, but gangrene is still going to be gangrene.
Katie, are you intrigued?
I mean, sure. Not so much in Jets camp, just in putting really big people next to really small people. That's something I'm super into. I like to do it in my spare time. I believe the producers may have made something for that.
Oh, no, this is not fair. this is a misrepresentation. What is this? This is so unfair.
Camera angles, really, we do a lot with the cameras to make sure that you look normal-sized, but I think it's time we speak our truth.
All right, very good. All right, enough of this. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I'm just glad you called 5'9½" not short, because I am 5'10" and change, and this is a long way towards my personal ego, so thank you.
Our work is done here for the day. If you want more Pablo Torre, ESPN Daily, more Katie Nolan, sports with a question mark, Dominique, you can find him at The Undefeated. Thank you for watching.
Look at my emotional support dog.
Oh.
He was very loud during social commentary.
It's a she, Dan. Her name's Myrtle. She, Myrtle. My God.
Well, Myrtle's rude.
Do you
rude.
Read my daily email with
Myrtle's
updates about
rude.
Her?
Rude.
Oh. She doesn't like you very much either.